In this way, anushasha, after instructing Atmajan,
his sons,
Swayam,
personally,
Anushishtan, highly educated in culture, Api, although,
Aloka Anushashana Artam,
just to instruct the people, Maha Anubhavaha, the great personality, Parama Surit, everyone's sublime well-wisher, Bhagavan, the supreme personality of Godhead, Rishabha Apadeshaha, who is celebrated and known as Rishabhadeva, Upashamasilanam, of persons who have no desire for material enjoyment, Uparatakarmanam, who are no longer interested in fruitive activities, Mahamuninam, who are sannyasis, Bhakti, devotional service, Jnana, perfect knowledge, Vairagya, detachment, Lakshanam, characterized by Paramahamsa, of the best of human beings, Dharmam, the duties, Upashikshamanaha, instructing, Svatanaya, of his sons, Shata, 100, Jishtam, the eldest, Parama Bhagavatam, a topmost devotee of the Lord, Bhagavat Janaparayanam, a follower of the devotees of the Lord, Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, yeah. Bharata Maharaj, Dharani Palanaya, with a view to ruling the world, Abhishicha, placing on the throne, Swayam, personally, Bhavane, at home, Eva, although, Urvarata, remaining, Shariramatra, the body only, Aparigraha, accepting, Unmattaha, a madman, Eva, exactly like, Gagana Paridanaha, taking the sky as his dress, that means naked, Aprakirnakesha, having scattered hair, Atmani, in himself, Aropita, keeping, Ahavaniyaha, the Vedic fire, Brahmavartat, from the place known as Brahmavarta, Pravavraja, began to travel all over the world. The translation, Shukadev Goswami said, thus the great well-wisher of everyone, the Supreme Lord, Rishabhadeva, instructed his own sons. Although they were perfectly educated and cultured, he instructed them just to set an example of how a father should instruct his sons before retiring from family life. Sannyasis who are no longer bound by fruitive activity and who have taken to devotional service after all their material desires have been vanquished, also learn by these instructions. Lord Vrishabhadev instructed his 100 sons, of whom the eldest, Bharata, was a very advanced devotee and a follower of Vaishnavas. In order to rule the whole world, the Lord enthroned his eldest son on the royal seat. Thereafter, although still at home, Lord Vrishabhadev lived like a madman, naked and with disheveled hair. Then the Lord took the sacrificial fire within himself, and he left Brahmavarta to tour the whole world. So purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Actually, the instructions given to Lord Vrishabhadeva's sons were not exactly meant for his sons because they were already educated and highly advanced in knowledge. Rather, these instructions were meant for sannyasis who intend to become advanced devotees. Sannyasis must abide by Lord Vrishabhadeva's instructions while on the path of devotional service. Lord Vrishabhadeva retired from family life and lived like a naked madman, even while still with his family. Okay, so, Om Ganat Timadanda Shah, Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Meritam Gena Tasmai, Shi Gurave Namaha. So one may question why Lord Vrishabhadeva did this. He remained naked, lived like a madman. The reason is, of course, we understand he's God, and he's already detached from this material world. However, he's showing us a particular process that was applicable then for becoming detached. It's called Jada Yoga. And the Jada Yoga process, you simply walk around, and if Krishna sends food, it's all right. If he doesn't, and if there's clothes, it's all right. You just act like a mad person. And there's reasons for that, so that people won't talk nonsense to you, engage you in ordinary social discourse. And you can devote your concentration to the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And sometimes we find devotees, even in the modern age, not exactly acting like madmen, but sometimes making believe they were sick. It's described about Bhaktivinoda Thakur. During the final years of his pastimes, he made believe he was sick. And so he closed himself up and he was absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So devotees do that sometimes for some reason to get absorbed in Krishna's pastimes at the end of life. They renounce different things. However, the process that Lord Vrishabhadeva underwent is not for us. But we do have some physical austerities that we have to execute, specifically for the sannyasis, because Prabhupada said Lord Vrishabhadeva's example is there, or teachings are there, for the sannyasis specifically. I mean, householders also, they should follow certain things. So what is that example? Because we have to distinguish between the example and the teachings. Because one should follow in the footsteps of a great devotee, the Supreme Lord, like Lord Vrishabhadeva, but you don't want to imitate. It's anusar, anukar, two different words. Imitate is not good. We find later on, people did imitate Lord Vrishabhadeva. We have this Maharaj Arhat who imitated, and he basically was the founder acharya of the Jain religion, where not only do they walk around sometimes crazy, but they even pull their hairs out. Did you know this? The hairs on the eyebrows, they pull them out. Then sometimes you see the Jains without any eyebrows, because they go and they turn to go austerities. Or even in the Western world, you find the monks in Europe. Monks, does anyone know what a monk is? A monk is someone in the Christian heritage who takes a vow of renunciation. They would engage in many austerities to try to become detached. One is they would wear these things called hair shirts. A hair shirt is like a very itchy garment. You understand? Like itchy. And all the time you walk around in the heat and it's itching, itching, itching. Or they would engage in self-flagellation. Does anyone know what that is? No, no one knows what that is. They would beat themselves. I don't know if any of you saw that movie, The Da Vinci Code. You saw that? And he was beating himself like that to become detached. Seriously. So you, even in the Western culture, you have these like severe austerities to become detached. In India also, we have the going to the Himalayas and sitting in the middle of the winter in the icy water, or surrounding yourself with a fire in the middle of the summer. And in India, it gets quite hot. You think, everybody thinks it was hot here the last few days, but India gets to 45 or 50 degrees. I mean, here, if it gets 35, everybody gets upset. You know, it's a little hot. They run their air conditioning, including me. But anyway. And then, if it gets down to 20 degrees, everybody puts their socks on in the temple room. I was looking at that this morning. I mean, it's pretty hot. And some of the pujaris were wearing socks when they were doing RT. And I'm thinking, this is crazy. And even when I came in this morning, they had a hat on Prabhupada. You know, one of these warm hats that we only wear when we're going skiing. You know, skiing, snow. You know, I took it off immediately. I took it off of Prabhupada immediately. Because, you know, you don't wear a hat like that when it's so warm and humid. So, but sometimes we're such delicate people here. That, you know, you can't dance on the floor. You have to put a little mat, even though it's 35 degrees out. Isn't it? So, God forbid your feet would get a little cooler. And so, getting back to the point, the yogis, they would voluntarily embrace these austerities. And so, of course, that's not for us. But still, there have to be some physical austerities, especially for the sannyasis. Just like we have the story of Raghunath Das Goswami, and he left everything. Of course, he was from a very opulent family. His wife was like the heavenly Indra's wife. He had so much money, it was inconceivable. And then when he went to join Lord Chaitanya, first, the first day, 3 days, 5 days, he was taking the remnants of Lord Chaitanya's prasad. Then after that, he started begging at the Singhadwara gate. That's a lion gate of Jagannath Temple. There's different gates. There's a horse gate. There's a lion gate of the Jagannath Temple. So he was begging. And then after that, he thought, I should even become more renounced. And then he started eating at this kitchen that was for beggars. And then he thought, I should become even more renounced. And he started taking the rice that was thrown away from the kitchen and washing it out, dried rice, and putting a little salt on it, and that was his prasadam. Can you imagine that? And so, therefore, of course, we can't imitate that either. But there's a lesson to be learned in that, that we should reduce our bodily necessities. I mean, everybody has different necessities. You know, I may need more than you, or you may need more than me. But we should reduce them to the minimum. What does the minimum mean so that our mind will still be peaceful? Like if you just gave me some dried rice with salt on it every day, I don't think my mind would be peaceful. I'd be saying, you rascal devotees, you know, how can you feed me like this while you're eating glubjimans? But the principle, we have to understand the principle behind the example. Not to imitate. The principle is to reduce to what you need. Not more than that, not less than that. As Krishna says in the Gita, this process of yoga is not for those who eat too much or eat too little, or sleep too much or sleep too little. Nityahara viharasya. You know, the medium path. As even we find that Lord Buddha, it's very interesting. Lord Buddha was born in a king's family. You all heard of Lord Buddha? He was born in a king's family, and they tried to protect him from birth, death, disease, and old age. And he had a very beautiful wife, and he even had a son. I don't know if you knew this. Lord Buddha had a baby, a son. So, but then Lord Buddha, when he saw the realities of life, decided to take sannyas. And when he took sannyas, the first thing he did was he executed too many austerities. And he almost died. And then a lady came and offered him some sweet rice. And he took it and he understood the right path is the middle path. You understand? The middle path. That's a famous thing in Buddhism. The middle path. Middle path means not too much austerities, not too much sense gratification. So that's really what we're all supposed to follow, but specifically the sannyasi. So when Raghunath Das Goswami asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, what is the duty of one in the renounced order of life? Of course, he asked it through Sarup Damodar Goswami, who is his immediate preceptor or teacher. Lord Chaitanya said, a sannyasi should not wear fine clothing. I mean, these are definite instructions by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. These are instructions that a sannyasi must follow. These three instructions. Actually, four instructions. Sannyasi should not wear fine clothing. Not so fine. Should not eat opulent food. Should not think of the opposite sex even in dreams. That's a hard one, isn't it? And should always think of Radha and Krishna within his heart of hearts. So these are the instructions. These are the basic instructions Prabhupada gives to those in the renounced order of life. That Lord Chaitanya gave to those in the renounced order of life. So the sannyasins must follow those things. However, I just want to mention something. Just following the negative things like not wearing fine clothes, executing austerities, not eating opulent prasadam, that's not gonna bring you to the stage of pure devotional service. Those are simply do nots. Just like you have in yoga, in the Ashtanga yoga system, you have yam and niyam. First thing is the yam, which means the restrictions. Like you have Yama Raj, he's the king of restrictions. If you don't restrict yourself voluntarily, you get a darshan with Yama Raj. You understand? You get a private darshan with him. And he's, anyway, it's not so pleasant. So Yama, and then Niyam. So there's positive and there's negative and positive injunctions. So as far as the negative injunctions, okay. But that's not going to give you pure devotional service. Even Bharat Maharaj, who was Lord Rishabhadev's son, says that later on. He says, Rahuganaitat, when he's talking to Maharaj Rahugana, he says, Rahuganaitat tapasa nayati nachejya nirvapanad grahadva nachandasa naiva jalagni surya vana mahatpada vajopishekam. He says, really, you're not going to become a great spiritualist. Rahuganai tat. Tapasa nanayati. By executing austerities. Or by being faithful to your dharma as a grahastha or a brahmin. He's not saying don't be faithful. He just says that's not going to give you perfection. And, or putting yourself in fire in the middle of the summer or ice in the middle of the winter. Tapasa. Nor by being a good sannyasi. And he says, ultimately, the only way you're going to become Krishna conscious is by taking the dust of the feet of great devotees. Mahobhishekam. In other words, association. So the real important things in devotional service is not renunciation, although that naturally comes from devotional service. And we should try to be as simple as possible. Like Prabhupada said, simple living and high thinking. Sometimes I see devotees, they're interested in high living and simple thinking. The opposite. Do you understand? High living. Prabhupada said, high living and simple thinking. No. The opposite. Simple living and high thinking. That's why Prabhupada wanted farm communities. Ultimately, here in Fiji, we should have farm communities. I mean, it's such a nice place. You can grow anything, almost everything. And people are simply going to supermarkets here. It's ridiculous, isn't it? The papaya is growing on the trees, but they don't want to take the trouble to take it off the tree. It's easier to get in the car, drive the car, find a parking space right next to the supermarket, You could drive for 2 hours trying to find a good parking space, so you don't have to walk 10 meters. Right? People do that? And so, but then it's like Mutha civilization. Because in order to buy that papaya, they have to work a job too. They don't realize that. They have to work a job, make so much money, slave away, pay the taxes, and just so they can drive their car to buy a papaya. When papayas are available freely. When we take our morning walk, there's so many papayas, it's growing freely, right? Just have to climb the tree, of course. And so many coconuts, but you'll buy a coconut, you won't get a coconut from a tree, right? So this is modern civilization. So in other words, of course, that's, Prabhupada said that's ugra karma. When Prabhupada was trying to establish a farm community in New Vrindavan based on simple living and high thinking, the devotees were thinking, we need more modern conveniences. So what they did is they went and bought a washing machine. Now you may think washing machine, it's all right, Hare Krishna. So, but the problem was that there was no electricity. And also the problem was, the devotees had the property high on the hill, there were no roads going up. So they bought, the ladies were thinking, we need a washing machine to wash our clothes. And there were plenty of water, there was rivers and everything, you know, washing clothes in rivers. I don't know if you've ever seen that in India, they wash their clothes in the river. They're called dhobis. You know what a dhobi is? Dhobi wala. Same word here? Dhobi wala. So you just give your clothes a dhobi wala and wash it in the river. So anyway, the devotees were carrying this washing machine that must have weighed like 100 kilos. It took four devotees. They were carrying it up the hill, getting the mud and slipping and everything like that as they were walking up the hill. And Prabhupada looked at it and he started laughing. He says, ugra karma. And you may say, what? I'm not saying you shouldn't have a washing machine. Believe me, I'm not saying that. Because I know my clothes are probably washed in the washing machine because Gokul can't figure out how to wash it in the sink. So it's easy. You just throw it in the washing machine, turn in the dial, and then a half an hour later, it's done. And even nowadays, they have bread machines, right? You have bread machines here in Fiji too? No. Where they just throw the flour in, they go to sleep, and then 2 hours later, you've got a bread. So people become very lazy. So basically, that Prabhupada would call that ugra karma. I'm not saying we shouldn't do those things. We're living in the city. So I'm not criticizing that. All I'm saying is that Prabhupada did want simple living, high thinking. However, that in and of itself is not sufficient. I'm speaking in logical terms. It's not sufficient to give you Krishna consciousness. What you really need for Krishna consciousness are the five items described in the Nectar of Devotion, the essential items. Does anyone know those items? It's a test, Nectar Devotion test.
Chanting.
What? The chanting of the holy name, Sankirtan. Actually, Sankirtan is what's said, but or chanting more. Yeah. Sadhu Sangha, Bhagavat, deity worship. The Bhagavatam. Actually, there's two lists of five. One of the lists includes Tulsi worship. It's interesting. I mean, there's different lists. But these are essential items to give us Krishna consciousness. That's what will give us Krishna consciousness, especially Sadhu Sangha. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asked about what is the quality of a Vaishnava, his first answer was actually a negative answer, a satsanga chaga, a Vaishnava char. First thing he says, a Vaishnava gives up bad association. Actually, Krishna says the same thing in the 15th chapter of the Gita, Sangha Dosha. He says, Nirmana Moha Jita Sangha Dosha, same thing. Nirmana Moha, one has to give up illusion. And he thought that something is mine. Sangha dosha, give up Sangha dosha. What is Sangha dosha? Does anyone know what Sangha dosha is? means bad association. Dosha means bad. It's not a pancake, a South Indian pancake. Right? That's what it's called, South Dosha. Give me some doshas. And Italy's. But a dosha in Sanskrit means bad. So Sangha Dosha. So one gives up bad association. So what is bad association? Bad association means there's different types. People who don't want Krishna consciousness, you know, just like eating meat, smoking marijuana, gambling, people who are atheists, Namam Duskrutini, Mudha, Prapajante, Naradama, Maya, Pratigyara, Asuram Bhava, Mashrata. Krishna gives them this description in the Bhagavad Gita. And then another type is those who are attached to enjoying others like illicit life. Like men who are attached to having illicit life or women who are attached to illicit life. To give up their association too. So these are two types of sangha doshas. That means bad association. And then Lord Chaitanya says, sarusanga, sarusanga, sarvasashtrakoi. Nivamatra sarusanga, sarvasarihoi. What does that mean? That associate with devotees, sarusanga, sarusanga. Sarva siddhi hoy, you get all success there. Lava matra, even for a small instant. A lava in Bengali means like an 11th of a second. Lava matra, that's lava matra, for just an instant. Sarusanga, sarva siddhi hoy, you'll become perfect. So this sarusanga, Lord Chaitanya considered that to be the first and foremost amongst all the other principles. And giving up bad association first and foremost. In fact, you find Rupa Goswami describing that a devotee would prefer to live in a cage of fire or tigers or wild dogs rather than live with those who are not devotees. It's amazing, isn't it? Even if the person who is not a devotee happens to be, you know, someone related to us, you know, family member. A devotee would prefer to live, can you imagine living in a cage of wild tigers or lions? You wouldn't get much sleep at night. Because they would have nice prasadam, but can you imagine that? Or a cage of fire, like that. So a devotee prefers to live like that. In fact, bad association is considered worse, basically, than being sinful. Wow. And I'll give you a story that illustrates that. When Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they said, of course they prayed to Lord Chaitanya, Namoho Mahabhadanyaya Krishna, Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna, Chaitanya Namna Gaurat to say Namaha, you're the most munificent personality of Godhead. And they said, we are lower than Jagai and Madai. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? And the reason they gave for being lower, or they thought they were lower, obviously they were, they're Nityasiddha devotees, was that Jagai and Madai never had associated with people who were against devotional service. Whereas Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami were working for the government, the Nawab Hussein Shah, who would basically, he was against Krishna consciousness. I mean, he would sometimes go into temples and smash the deities like many people, many of the Mughals did in India. So they said that we associated with these people, we worked intimately with these people, so we're considered lower than Jagai and Madai. Can you imagine that? And Jagai and Madai were so low that Yamaraj couldn't keep track of all their sinful activities, even on a supercomputer. No, he had his scribe, that's the secretary, Chitragupta, and Chitragupta said, you know, there's so many books about what Jagai and Madai did, it would fill a bottomless pit. He just like, there's a book. Like Prabhupada said, Yamaraj keeps a book on you. There's a book with your name. Can you imagine? Here's my book. Uh-oh. When he was 5 years old, he went to McDonald's. When he was 9, he yelled at his parents. When he was 21, he disobeyed the order of his spiritual master. So Prabhupada actually said that. Yamaraj keeps the book. Krishna also has a book. Krishna's book's a lot nicer. That he joined the Hare Krishna movement, chanted 16 rounds, went on Sankirtan. That's Krishna's book. But Yamaraj also has a book. So the point I was making is that about bad association, is that bad association is considered the worst thing, basically. And good association is the most important thing. Think about it. The Prophet said, whoever you associate with, you'll be like those people. Because the modes of nature rub off on you. Karnam guna sangasya sadasad janma jonishu. By association with modes of nature. The Prophet said, you associate with a drunkard, after a while you're going to start drinking. And so therefore we find in the progressive march of devotional service, ado shraddha tata sadhu sangota. And then from sadhu sangota, sadhu sangha, comes bhajana kriya. Because when you, all the other four items of devotional service come from sadhu sangha, if you think about it. Because you associate with the devotees, the sadhus, then they're chanting. They're doing tulsi worship. They're worshiping the deities. They're reading or speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. So the sadhu sangha is the essential aspect. So all of you here are very fortunate. You're getting to live close to Krishna's temple. I mean, it's just very fortunate. You don't understand how fortunate it is to be, like, either living in the temple or close to the temple or being able to come to the temple. And you become complacent and not appreciative of what you have. I mean, the ability to hear Bhagavatam, see the deities, and after a while you just think it's ordinary. But this is the most important thing. So basically, that's my message for today. Avoid bad association, take good association, and be thankful when Krishna has given you good association. Thank Krishna for it. Count your blessings. Don't count what's bad. I mean, it's easy to go through the bad things, you know. My guru's too heavy. There's not enough sweet balls for me at prasadam. What else? Do they have? Oh, it's too hot. What else? Oh, they asked me to go on Sankirtan. I don't want to go on Sankirtan. I'm simply meant for eating prasadam and resting afterwards. This is my service. Prabhupada said, you can eat your way back to Godhead. Prabhupada did say that. But you're not supposed to take that literally. Someone said that. Prabhupada's instruction, just take prasadam and you go back to Godhead. Yeah, but you have to understand why Prabhupada said that. Prabhupada said that so to bring people, attract people to the movement. So we should just count our blessings. We're so fortunate. And then whatever negative thing is there, it's tiny. Whatever thing. Very small. Okay? Any questions or comments about these things?
In the discussion between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, while Ramananda Roy, he was asked what is the greatest loss. He said, the greatest loss is the fear of the association.
Yeah, what is the greatest loss, the greatest misery? Losing the association of Vaishnavas. That's the greatest thing. I mean, to live with the devotees is so blissful. I mean, yeah, I mean, devotees are not perfect. I mean, you argue with them once in a while, or every day, or every hour. But Prabhupada said that's our austerity, to live with the devotees. Isn't it? I mean, obviously, we're coming from different backgrounds. Everybody here is from a different background, you know, different countries maybe, different backgrounds, different families, different social things. But our austerity is to look beyond those things and see how wonderful the divine. And also, not only count our own blessings, but be positive with others. Yeah, I mean, sometimes you'll find a devotee that he'll be like Ramchandra Puri, you know, one of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, let's say the godbrother of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's spiritual master, would always look for faults. He would try to find out if someone was eating too much. So you have people like that sometimes that I've experienced that. If you glorify someone, they'll go, oh, it's not true. Here's what they do wrong. Just like the other day, I was glorifying some devotees here in Fiji who were doing so much night service. They opened up a temple. I said, it's wonderful what they're doing. They said, nah. Because they asked for donations or something like that. You know, some crazy thing. So you can always find some fault in devotees. I mean, you should see the positive side of devotees. Don't look for what they do bad. In fact, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the Harinam Chintamani, he said one of the causes of offenses against Vaishnavas is that you criticize a Vaishnava for some accidental mistake or even some habit that they have from previous lives or what they did before they joined the movement or before they started chanting Hare Krishna. So we don't do that. Even Lord Chaitanya's associates would not criticize Jagai Madai after they became devotees. They just saw the good in them. So we should see each and every one of us, we should be very positive that he or she is serving Krishna, doing such a nice job. Isn't it? Even if it's a little thing that people do, then we should appreciate. So any other questions? Comments? Gentlemen? That's actually a very, very good question. I was actually thinking about this yesterday. Yesterday, by Krishna's grace, I went to the police station because I made a report. Something happened. And then I was appreciating how nice the police were. And I was thinking, why is Krishna sent me here? And I was thinking, because we see how nice the people here are here in Fiji. I was appreciating the people here in Fiji have a very sweet, hospitable mood to them. And I said, well, Krishna sent me here so I could see that I should be, you know, we should make some plan how to bring everybody to Krishna consciousness. So, you know, anyway, so Krishna has a reason for sending us in different places. You know, I was in the police station because I was making a report because there was some vicious dog who attacked me yesterday. But Krishna did it for a reason. Of course, making me humble. Because I was thinking, you know, dogs should obey me. He was the first dog who didn't listen to me, you know. And I still have to feel merciful because this morning I was praying for him. I was praying the dog would actually be forgiven and go back to Godhead. So today the dog will be chanting Hare Krishna and everything. But Krishna sent me there and I was thinking, yes, we have to be preaching to everybody because everybody is very nice. We have to see the good qualities in everybody. You know, so many people are negative. They see bad qualities in people either of different races or different whatever, you know, different backgrounds or different religions. We should just be positive like that. Fan the spark. And so, yes, we have to make plans to save everybody here in Fiji. Everybody. Because that's what we're here for. This is not the International Society for Racial Consciousness. Well, International Society, ISR-Con. ISR-Con. Isra-Con. You know, Krishna says that everybody's my part and parcel, so. And people are nice. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was able to get the lions and tigers to chant. So at least we can work on human beings. Right? You know, I couldn't get the dog to chant, but I'm not Lord Chaitanya. Can you imagine? If I said, chant Hare Krishna, the dog, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Please accept my humble obeisances. So, anyway, so we should... You're right. That's a good point, and we should make some plan. I was actually thinking how I could do that. I was thinking that when we're going to Reiki in, next week sometime, so maybe on the way we can stop with our guitar in different villages and play. Yeah, just stop there without any invitation. Just stop there and play the guitar. I remember one time... We were in Tabayuni. We went to the waterfall there, and then we brought out a guitar, and then all the villagers came around. They were chanting with us. Was anyone with us when we? No, I think you were with us. Yeah, Haryas was with us. Remember that? We were chanting, and the villagers very much appreciated. And so by the chanting the Lord's holy names, we're a Sankirtan movement. Then everyone will become attracted, especially good music. I mean, you have to adjust the music a little bit because, according to the culture. Like in America, too, we adjust the music. We have guitars and everything like that because people like that sort of music. And so when you're preaching maybe to people of different cultures here, you may have to use different instruments, but the holy name should always be the same. And they'll be attracted. Like people here are very much like guitars, isn't it? So you have a guitar, and I play the guitar, so we go and chant Hare Krishna. Get everybody dancing and chanting. It's a fact. That's Lord Chaitanya's philosophy. Thank you for asking that question. Okay, it's time to greet the deities. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.